evening. It's Sunday, and my favorite day. It's a day where I meet family, God's people. It's a day where I can praise the Lord through songs and hear other people singing as well. It's very encouraging. It's a day to hear God's word as well. So let's read John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 1 to 4. In the Church Bible, it's page 1082. Just a few verses we're going to read tonight. John chapter 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Let's pray. Lord God, we bring to you this service, the message for tonight. I pray, cling desperately to your throne of grace, Lord. May you use your servant to show the power that lies within your word. Lord, we pray that you would comfort our hearts, and that, Lord, we would believe in you, believe in Christ. God, you are sufficient, you are enough. Lord, you are God Most High, and we want to come to you in this humble state. But without Jesus, Lord, we can never have access to your grace. But Lord, in the name of Christ, we pray that may you speak to us tonight. For Christ's name's sake, we pray. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 1 to 4. The message tonight is titled, The Christian Comfort. On the passage that we have read, we can see that Jesus is comforting his disciples. It was, well, because on the previous passage, in chapter 13, verse 36 to 37, we would see the storyline where Jesus Christ is telling them that the hour has come for him to be crucified. So Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where am I going? You cannot follow now, but you will follow later. So it's troubling time for the disciples. They have been with Jesus for a few years, and they were clinging to Jesus as someone that they've seen calm the storm. I don't know where at the point of disciples' faith they are, this specific situation is, because we can see in the crucifixion they eventually went on their way, but certainly they see something in Jesus. They believe in Jesus. In a certain sense, they see Jesus as someone that's not just a mere man. And now, the person they believe is now going away. And what will happen to us, they say, they ask. Now, this is true to the disciples, and for us who hasn't seen Jesus Christ with our eyes, there might be troubling times for us. Right now might be a troubling time for us. It might be a time where we go to church and we are smiling, but yet within our hearts, our spirit is dry. Might be time in our lives where we've been searching for God, but, you know, it's hard. Maybe you're a single mom trying to raise kids, or you're away with your family. You're troubled. You're trying to make ends meet, trying to think about bills and how we'll be able to cope up with the rising inflation of the economy. Probably you have trouble at work because, you know, you're speaking up with your faith. Or you're a young person struggling with your identity at the moment. Or maybe a pastor or elder at the church, there's a church problem and you don't know how to sort it out and you're having a hard time. Or maybe you're a pastor's kid who needs to live the name that you have. Or I said a worker being out of place because you're a Christian. We are all called to carry a cross. Jesus Christ said, if you want to follow me, carry a cross. A life that is different from the world. Now, where do we get comfort? Where do we get comfort? This is Jesus telling his disciple, I know you're troubled. I know within your heart that you're anxious. You know that I'm going away. You will see me no more. But I will give you words of comfort. This is his words. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. If you want comfort, first instruction. Believe in God. What does believe means? Does it mean just to know him and Jesus Christ has been with us and you know, he made a lame walk and know him. But that's not the case because the Greek word comes from the word pistis, which is by implication to entrust. So if we want to find comfort in this world, first thing we need to do is to entrust ourselves to God. Give ourselves to God. And if we think, well, actually, will that work? Will giving myself to God, entrusting myself to God, will that work? Will that be able to pay my bills? Will that be able to help me in trouble? Well, Jesus Christ said, believe in God. Entrust your life in him. You know, believing is like a, probably you heard of the illustration, but it's straight to the point. When you're in an airplane and you have, and for example, there's a crash on the airplane and you believe that there's parachute would actually, if you put it in and if you jump, you're gonna live. Believing is not just, yeah, I know that, but I'm not gonna put it. Believing is putting in the parachute knowing that you're gonna live. Believing in God is putting on God, trusting yourself in him, putting your life in him. And I tell you, nobody on this earth alive, or even the people who died, who has entrusted their life to God, that God has failed them. God never fails. So, who is this God that we should believe on? The object of faith. Well, is it the Father? I think particularly God is saying this is pertaining to the triune God. It's the same word theos in nominative case or theon in accusative in Greek, which is the same word that's used in Matthew 23, which says, God with us, Jesus. Matthew 22:33, Theos, God of Abraham, which is God the Father. And Luke 16:15, God knows. And only the Spirit of God knows the mind of God in 1 Corinthians 2:11. Accordingly, in the passage, Jesus referred to the individual persons of the Trinity in this chapter. We would see in verse 2, he says, the Father, and there's actually a lot in there. Verse 7 and verse 10. And then he referred to himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The famous verse, verse 6. And then he goes on to refer to the Comforter, another advocate, which is the Paraclete, which means the intercessor of the same kind. So, the triune God is present on the chapter that we have read. What to believe? The one true God. The one true God that the Bible has said to us. Who is he? He is Jehovah El Olam, the everlasting God. Genesis 21:33. He is not bound by time. Jehovah Elyon, the Lord Most High. He is the sovereign God. He holds everything in his hand. There's not one, as R.C. Sproul said, there's no one maverick that God doesn't know. He is the sovereign God. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. If we think we're in a muddle because of financial situation, of food on our table, God will provide. Jehovah Tsekenu, the Lord our righteousness. He is our righteousness. And this is a good thing. This is a comforting thing. Why? Because our righteousness could not actually save us. It is God's righteousness that we are seen just in the sight of God. And if you feel guilt within your heart and you're thinking, I've done this, I should not have done it, I should have not committed a sin and this and that, and guilt has filled your heart that you feel so much shame to come to God, then He is Jehovah Tsekenu. He is your righteousness. He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. He brings peace to us, peace in our hearts and peace to God. He is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. Ezekiel 48:15. And if sometimes you feel you're alone, and if you feel that God's not there, and if you feel there's no one that can hear you out, there's no one that will hear you out, God is present. Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah El Gibor, the mighty God. Are you in a trouble? At workplace, are you look at this incident report and it seems like you're in a pickle. You have a mighty God. He is Jehovah Rohi. The Lord is my shepherd. How wonderful God we have. He leads us to green pastures. Beside still waters, He restores our soul. He has His staff. And when we go astray, He pulls us in. He is the Lord, our shepherd. How do we find comfort? Believe in God. Believe in Christ. The greatest person who ever lived on earth, He conquered by love, not fear, yet His kingdom remains forever. Can you tell a more beautiful story than the story of redemption? Aren't you amazed when you read Romans, when you read the stories in the Bible and how God orchestrated all these things? It's a wonderful story. No human mind could ever make this story. And the good thing is, this is not a made-up story. It's the real deal. It's a real thing. It happened. Christ came. Let me, the words of the hymn say, I cannot tell why he, whom angels worship, should set his love upon the sons of men. Or why, as shepherd, he should seek the wanderers to bring them back, they know not how or when. But this I know, he was born of Mary, when Bethlehem's manger was his only home, and that he lived at Nazareth and labored, and so the Savior of the world is come. I cannot tell how silently he suffered, as with his peace he graced this cross, this place of tears, or how his heart upon the cross was broken, the crown of pain to 33 years. But this I know, he heals the brokenhearted. He stays our sin and calms our lurking fear, and lifts the burden from the heavy laden. For yet the Savior of the world is here. Why should we believe in Jesus? He is the way. He is the way. The article "the" makes it a Christian scandal. You know, it makes the Christian scandalous because we say that there's only one way and Jesus Christ is the only way. There's no other way than Jesus Christ. His obedience, His propitiation, His life, His death, His resurrection made it clear that He is the way. There's no other way. He is the way, the only way to the Holy God, which we can never see with sinful eyes. But we must believe this, that Jesus Christ is the only way, that our good deeds is not one of the way, no. That our going to church is one of the way, or our parents being Christian is the, probably one of the way to go to heaven, no. That's not how it works. Jesus Christ says, I am the way. I am the way. And what does Jesus Christ say as well? I am the truth. A comforting thought. In a world where anyone is confused of what is the truth, where people believe that truth is relative, where people change the truth to something, where adultery is now changed to an open relationship. We just have an open relationship. There is, in this world that we live in now, there is a comforting thought. There is the truth. Jesus Christ. There is one person in who our anchor will never be shaken. There is Jesus. He is the truth. And there's no comfort in finding the truth within other person. Only Jesus. And it's also comforting that this truth has been revealed by God to us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to 20. So I tell you this and insist on this in the Lord, that you must no longer live as Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 to 7. The God of this age, small g, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. This truth, this light, has been shined to us in our hearts by God. The truth. And Jesus Christ is the life. Can life be found in wealth? Now, when I was doing like the children's talk, I was looking into surveys. What are the things that people are most thankful of? I'm trying to look at kids, what the kids are thankful of, but I cannot find any. There's a lot of things that are really funny there for kids. But what I'm surprised about is that wealth is actually at the bottom of the list for being thankful. People that are thankful are thankful about family, friends. But wealth is not even on the top. Can life be found in wealth? People are trying to find life in entertainment. I follow basketball, and it's outrageous how they pay athletes to play basketball for $200 million for 4 years to play basketball, to entertain people with their game. I don't know how they do that in football. I don't follow football. Probably the same. The entertainment world is so rich because people are trying to find life. When they go home, they want to watch TV. They want to find something. Where is life? Well, Jesus Christ said, I am the life. He is life. Jesus is the life. He is our meaning. He is our why. He is our strength. He is our bread. He is our light. When we wake up in the morning as Christians, we should think that I'm living this life for God. And when you're at workplace and you feel that it's unfair, can you think, I'm doing this not for man, but for God? He is the reason why we wake up in the morning. He is the reason why we go to work. He is our why. He is our life here on earth. He is our life here on earth. He's our life there in heaven. If you are not happy being with Him in this life, you will never be happy with being with Him in heaven. But if you're happy being with Him in this life, then imagine the joy which you will have when you're in heaven. In Him we find joy and fulfillment. As Christians, isn't it that our hearts are being crushed day by day if we don't live for Him? Like a grinding worm, it haunts our heart with despair when we ignore Him. Until we realize that His holy people can only find our satisfaction in Him. It is true, O Christian, in your heart you know this, that when you do things that you put other things more than you should and put God aside, the Holy Spirit is talking to your heart. A voice is speaking to you. It's not audible, but you know that God is speaking to you. Come back to me, child. You'll find your joy in me. And when the time that we let go of those things that are burdening us and we come to Christ, we will find joy at that time. But it's just foolish, isn't it? That we know this and then we just go back to those things and then we go back again to God and feel joy and then suddenly you go on that cycle. Because of the nature that is within us. But find comfort, dear Christian, our bodies will be changed into incorruptible one. We will be with God. And the struggle will eventually be finished. And the joy with Christ is everlasting and no one can take it from us. Know that soon we will be with Christ. Oh heaven, what a beautiful place. Paradise is it. The scriptures are not shy about this message. There are people who don't believe in heaven. But the Bible says there is heaven. Matthew 6:19-20. Do not store up yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Hebrews 13:14. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for a city that is to come. There is a city that's coming. For we know that if the earthly tent that we live in is destroyed, talking about our bodies, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Revelation 21:21-25. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. This is talking about the new heaven. Each gate made of a single pearl, and the great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need a sun nor the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nation will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. And no day will its gates be ever shut, for there will be no more night. Is it really, if we come back to the story where Jesus Christ is telling the disciples about getting comfort, is it, you know, I was studying in a King James Bible, because my study Bible is King James, and it says, in my father's house are many mansions. It says true. Whatever it is, you're in your father's house. And it wasn't the pearly gates nor the street of gold that will give that gives the disciples much comfort. Because at the very place, they want to be with Jesus. And Jesus Christ is going to be crucified. It's going away. But Jesus Christ said, someday, I will go, I will prepare a place for you. The place is a bonus. The pearly gates and the gold are just the bonuses of heaven. The great reward in heaven is what Jesus Christ has said. He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, and that you also may be where I am. We will be with Jesus. We will be with Jesus. And that's the greatest comfort. Christian, take heart and believe. Does this world trouble you? It does trouble me, for sure. But believe in God. Believe also in Christ. God never fails. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. We want to praise you and glorify you, Lord, for your words of comfort, the truth that lies within it. And though our heart may falter, and though our hearts may doubt, your words are true, O God. And it is your hand that holds us fast. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful and glorious truth. That is the salvation that is found in Christ. is enough for our joy, our hope, our comfort. And that great celebration in heaven, we know, with you, Jesus, it will be glorious. So Lord, as you have called us to carry our cross in this world, as you have called us to be here, be present here, so that we can be a light to the people around us, God, may you comfort us, for we know that you are God who is always present. You're there. Help us to feel your presence, God, and bring us closer and closer to you. For Christ's name's sake, we pray. Amen.